And just a couple of preliminaries. We're going ahead and do our normal beginning of the service in lieu of a Bible study tonight. I'll be talking a little bit about the Lord's Supper before we have the Lord's Supper, just a few moments. This will be the first time we've served since I've been here. And rest assured, it may be very different from what you've done in the past. I don't want to make the phrase, it's important, it's not a matter how you do it, that you do it, and that would be an incorrect statement because crackers and Kool-Aid would be wrong. But what I do want to say is it may be a little bit different, and how we do it today might be different than the next time that we have the Lord's Supper. The key thing, and remember that we'll talk about later, is the purpose and the reason why we do it. And we'll talk a little bit about that a little bit later in the service. But we're glad you're here. Let's go ahead and stand together. And we'll ask the Lord's blessings, and we'll get ready to start our service. And we'll go right into the service. Brother Enoch, would you open us in prayer, please? All right, what we're going to do is I'm going to take a few moments and go over some things in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if you want to turn there in your Bible. And in a few minutes, we'll just have just a short little intermission to give people opportunity. That way the deacons can come and get ready. Ms. Marley, you don't have to sit there at the piano. You can, or you can come down and come back up later. I'll take about 10 or 15 minutes at the most, and then have a little bit of intermission for those that maybe be here. Just remember something about the Lord's Supper. Whether I partake or don't partake, it's just between me and God, and no one else needs to be concerned about it. And that's why I always want to have a time in between of those who would like to go ahead and slip out and not stay for the Lord's Supper. Maybe they may be fasting. There could be a number of reasons why someone may not partake of the Lord's Supper, and fasting may be one of them, and of course some other things that we'll talk about in a few moments. Many churches have different views, and I was looking across the auditorium tonight and thinking about it this morning, and somewhere we're almost at the halfway point where we have as many new people as we had former members of the church since I came here. And so I know I've talked about some of these things months ago. I haven't been here that long. It hasn't even felt like I've been here that long by any means. But I want to go over a few more things. And the common views for the Lord's Supper is a close communion, open communion, and a closed communion. Some people may look at that a little bit differently, for basically, if I understand, what I was taught in Bible college from my pastor reading other material, basically comes to open communication, open communion, open Lord's Supper. Many people feel that anyone that comes and says they believe in Jesus, they love the Lord, they can partake. Now, I don't particularly agree with that. And then they have a close communion and a closed communion. I am not dogmatic on either close or closed, but I will tell you what they are. Close communion is when the people are here at the Lord's Supper know that, in other words, you are saved and baptized and a member of a church of like faith, you may be invited to partake. And there is a closed communion, which is basically for the local body that are members of the church there that is serving the Lord's Supper. I lean a little harder toward that one than the other, and I'll tell you why. There is basically, we know from the Bible teachers, there's two ordinances of the local church, baptism and the Lord's Supper. Nobody comes to Harvest Baptist Church and says, "Brother Cook, could you baptize me? I want to be a member of First Baptist downtown." Follow me? And communion, I'm your shepherd. I know you better than I know someone else off the street coming in. I have a responsibility to protect my flock, to preach, to teach, to pray. We haven't had the Lord's Supper since I've been here because I felt like there hasn't been the unity there needs to be in the church before serving the Lord's Supper as a pastor, so we did not. Do I think we have perfect unity and harmony? No, we're only human, but I think we're a lot closer than we were a year ago. And for that reason, I think it's time for us to serve the Lord's Supper. I know the people of Harvest, members, if I've had the opportunity to sit down and talk with you before you become a member, talk to you about your salvation, testimony, following the Lord and believers' baptism, those things I know. Your private world, I do not know. My private world, you do not know as well. And that's why I think it's a solemn time and it's an important time to discuss these things, have a time of prayer to make sure we settle things with one another, settle things in our heart within the Lord, that we are at peace and ready for the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper, in general, many we think about it as a time of remembrance, and it is. But I want you to think about it this way as well. Because of the need of making sure that our conscience and our hearts are clear, there's also repentance involved as needed. And always, before you have revival, there's always going to be repentance first. So there's a remembrance, there's a repentance, and there's also the potential of revival. I've actually seen a church almost break out or come really close to revival during the Lord's Supper because I was there as a guest preacher. I had no idea what was going on in the church, but through the message and the time and me warning it and leading over to the Lord's Supper and what it means is I closed out and turned it over to the pastor. Four families got up in the church and just met in the middle and boo-hooed and asked each other to forgive themselves, came to the altar. The altars were full. The invitation went on for 15, 20 minutes. And then we had the Lord's Supper. Boy, what a... And all that was done in a different language for me. I had no idea what was going on. I understood enough Slovak. I used a translator because my Slovak was not to the point that I could preach on my own. But even some of the other things that took place, just excitement, even in another language, to know and understand what was going on, even though it was a foreign language, how sweet that service was. And I think that's why it's important, that aspect of remembering why we do it. When we have a short little break, I'll go out, do what I need to do. You as well, come back. Just a short break, give people an opportunity that may need to leave or feel like they're not sure about having the Lord's Supper at this point. Again, it's not a judgmental time. There'll be times on Sunday night where we have visitors. We'll have others out of town that gives them an opportunity not to feel awkward. And then when we come back, I'm going to come over here to the table and try to help you visualize in your heart and mind that evening. Some of the accounts of the Gospels, all of them give an account of the Lord's Supper. But John tells us in reference to the Lord and washing the disciples' feet. I'm not going to wash anybody's feet. But I am going to wash my hands and use the picture, break the bread, symbolizing those things. Help us in our mind to try to, in our hearts and our mind, get there in that upper room at that time where the first Lord's Supper was served. And then we'll prepare and move over and we'll begin. The deacons will come after the break and be prepared and helping me in that area. Please overlook anything that may look a little awkward as we're doing this for the first time together as a team. But what your concentration should be on is the body, the bread that was broken for us. The wafer, the bread that we'll use tonight, I wanted to make sure because we have some folks in our church that have a gluten tolerance. I know it's a small piece, but just to be sure because I love you, we found something that was gluten-free and we ordered it, so we'll use that tonight. And, of course, we'll have the Welch's grape juice representing the blood of Christ. But all that is wrapped up center that we in our hearts and mind, as we start with me washing my hands and breaking the bread and moving forward, trying to go back in our hearts and minds of that night and for the reasons why this was taken, what the Lord was teaching, as we go back in remembrance of the body that was broken for you and I. The blood that was shed, as for without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And we look through the account of the Gospels and see how each one of them portrayed it and presented something a little bit different, but yet many things being the same. And then because of sin and because of things that took place through the churches, this is where we're going to read for just a moment. Spend just a couple of minutes and we'll take a short break. But if you want to look in your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And Paul had to address the churches because of things that were going awry. Things that were not being right. A time of the Lord's table and remembrance of communion was being turned into something completely different. And Paul had to address these things in his letter. And remember, this is a letter to the church. And he had, knowing that he had heard some things, and without a doubt, knowing some things were going on here, some things may be going on over here, but needless to say, he was addressing particularly some things that needed to be addressed in reference to the Lord's table. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, let's start with verse number 18. For first of all, when you come together in church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. Isn't it sad to think that even today's age, people still come to church knowing there's division? They'll come in, someone will sit on one side of the church, and someone will sit on the other side because they don't want to be sitting next to them. I mean, how can we have our heart right and be in a form of prayer for worship, much less the Lord's Supper, when we already know there is animosity? There's already something that's not within unity and moving together. We can have a disagreement, and we can tease about certain things. But when it comes to the house of God, when it comes to the Bible, when it comes to theology, when it comes to the doctrines, when it comes to fellowship, when it comes to those things of unity, we should be at one. We can disagree whether we shop at Fry's or Safeway or who's the best ball team. Those are different. I'm talking about the church. And this is where they had some of their differences and things that they were practicing. In verse 19, for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are proved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in the eating, every one taketh before our other her own supper, and one is hungry, and other is drunken. Can you imagine turning something into what was supposed to be in remembrance of the Lord's Supper? Now it was becoming a feast. There were some that were having their little cliques, some that were gorging on food, some that were doing without, and some were leaving intoxicated. They have obviously slipped from where originally they once were or where they should be. And again, Paul is addressing these things. Verse 22, what? Have you not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. I am not going to praise you and recognize you for meeting things when you're doing everything the wrong way. I mean, you've got some problems, some difficulties. Take care of it at home. You know, deal with it. Talk with the Lord. Folks, I don't know about you. Let's just be real and let's be honest. I grew up in a house with four children. And after my son left, I felt like I was in a girl's dorm with three girls and a wife in one house. I became a girl dad real quick. Things were different. And I knew when I defended one of them. There was no doubt, because I think they teamed up against me. You know, I'm the dad, they're the girls. But we knew there was some animosity. Some of you felt like you could cut it with a knife. You know what I'm talking about. And what are you supposed to do when those things happen? You just sit down and work it out, to talk it out and talk it through. So often it's a misunderstanding. So often it's an oversight, or maybe you thought you heard or saw something that wasn't really what you thought or what you heard. But needless to say, Paul is addressing some of these things and how they're behaving. Verse number 23, "For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Think about that for a moment. We think about, we've been preaching on this, we got the resurrection tomorrow, that the psalmist is knowing that he did it. How's the song go? He did it all for me. Well, it's to be personal. This, I'm partaking of a time of remembrance, what my Lord and my Savior willingly did. Amen. And that Garden of Gethsemane, where he wept and asked his Father, if this cup should pass, for it to pass, but if not, he was willing to receive it and to take it. And he did it for you and I. This should be a time where we really realize and understand what we're partaking is that remembrance of how much he loves me. Amen. How much he loves us. How much he loves me and my family, my church family. It's to remember for what our Lord did for us. And if he could do all those things, and he did for us, is there not a sacrifice that we are not willing to make, whether it be swallowing our pride, whether it be willing to take the first step in making things right? If he was not willing to do those things, what are we willing to do for our Savior? "For I received of the Lord," in verse 23, "that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, which is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup, the New Testament of my blood, this do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me." As oft as you do it. You know, every church is different. For I understand the church here before I came did it once a year, usually around Easter time, if I remember correctly. My pastor does it every fifth Sunday. I know some churches that do it every Sunday. I think, and the reference as oft as you do, you can't point to a timetable of when to do it. First of all, there needs to be unity within the church, for sure. And the pastor's responsibility, along with the deacons, that communication of knowing, feel like there is unity, that we can come together and have this time of remembrance to the Lord. I think every week is too often, personally. Every month, you know, maybe it might be close to being too. I don't want it to be a common thing by any means whatsoever. So whether it's done twice a year, whether it's done quarterly or every fifth Sunday, or whether it's done two times, three times a year, whatever it may be, I feel it needs to be the time as the Lord directs the pastoral leadership with the deacons. There's unity in the church, and these things we do in remembrance for our Lord. In a time where we prepare our hearts and minds and ask even ourselves, am I prepared to partake of this thing which the Lord has done for me? Let's go a little further. Verse number 26. "For after as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do in remembrance of the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine," what's it say there? "Himself," or herself, in verse 28. That's why it's important to have a time to pray and have an opportunity to take an opportunity to talk to the Lord and even ask the Lord, "Lord, is there something I'm not aware of? Lord, is something that needs to be brought to me? Lord, is something I need to recall that I need to deal with?" It's time we have that opportunity just to make sure that we are in unity as a church, we're in unity with our family, our church family, our community, and most importantly, with the Lord. And it's so important that he says that it's unworthy if you partake if there's known. In other words, you know there's sin in your life. Just because no one else knows doesn't make you safe. You know. And it's just as easy, as we said this morning, as going before the Lord and asking him to forgive you. But he says, "But let every man examine himself," in verse 28, "and let him eat of the bread and drink of that cup." We are not to wonder why sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, knowing they're not where they should be, why are they partaking? You just disqualified yourself. you're being judgmental. You're not judging yourself. And besides that, we don't know what they have done in dealing with the Lord and with others within the last 24 hours or the last few hours. We have no idea. We need to make sure that we're examining ourself and that we are worthy. And verse 29, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that he come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. It's okay to have the fellowships. It's okay to have those other things. But let's make sure the fellowships are centered around fellowship and those things. Eating at home, providing the nourishment you need for the physical man. But this part, as we call the Lord's Supper, this part of the bread that represents his broken body, the fruit of the vine that represents the blood of Christ, this is a whole nother ordeal. Whether you call it the Lord's Supper, whether you call it communion, the Lord's table, it's that solemn remembrance of what he has done for you and I, and making sure that I am ready to partake. And as a shepherd, I have the responsibility to do my best that I can to make sure my sheep as well are ready, prepared to partake in that which we are about to serve, or take the opportunity through prayer and speaking to make sure that they are okay and prepared themselves to partake of the Lord's Supper. I am honored to be here tonight, and we'll take a break here in just a moment. And we'll take an opportunity to have a word of prayer. And I would encourage you that over the next couple moments, it's 6:40. We'll meet back at about 6:43. Take an opportunity. And if we need to go a little longer, we can. And you feel like there's something that you need to deal with, someone you need to talk to within our congregation, or just take a moment as we pray before we take the short break. And when we pray again, when we come back and begin moving in that situation. At the end of the service, we'll take an opportunity and we'll sing Blessed Be the Tie That Binds before we dismiss. And I would encourage you, not demand, not a request, a little bit softer than a request, but I would encourage you is when you leave tonight, try to keep the thoughts in your mind of what we just observed in the Lord's Supper. Through our fellowship as we make our way, and the Bible talks about it, they partook of it and they sang a song and they departed. Take some time to meditate, to think on these things, and maybe carry yourself back to that place where you trusted Christ as your personal Savior. Carry yourself back to that place that means something special to you in your heart and mind where the Lord changed your life, either in salvation or both in that, or maybe coming back to the Lord if you've gotten away. It's a solemn time to meditate and think on the importance of what our Savior did for us. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and we do thank you for your goodness, your blessings, and the joy of service, the joy of fellowship. Father, thank you for the wonderful church family we have here at Harvest Baptist Church, and I pray that you'd bless our time together as we take a moment to meditate, to pray, and a short break before coming back together. Father, help us, Lord, as we ask. And Lord, and I ask you if there's anything in my heart, in my mind, Lord, that needs to be resurfaced for me to deal with, someone in the congregation that I may need to go and talk with. Father, I pray that you'd make it real to me. Help me to see. Help me to understand. Help each one of us to strive in those areas to do that which is needed, that which is needful, that which is necessary, Father, as we prepare our hearts and we prepare our minds to share in this wonderful time as we do in remembrance of our Savior and what he's done for us. Father, we love you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we'll just take a couple minutes and our piano will play for us, and whether you need to leave the services or whether you just want to take some time in prayer. Let's take a moment as we go back in our hearts and our minds in Scripture. As we know the customs of that time during the Middle East, that there was usually someone there when they had visitors, especially a large gathering. And we know that a table was prepared, that the Lord had sent the disciples, a room would be prepared for them. And oftentimes, as a custom, there would be someone there to provide water for them to wash their hand and to wash their feet as they come in from the dusty roads. But that night, there was no one there. We know, as we read at least John's account, where the Lord himself washed the feet of the disciples. As I know, as our Lord was there and he prepared and he washed his hands, and just want to encourage you to take a moment to go back in your heart and mind what it might have been like, the gathering there as the Lord washed his hands and washed his feet of the disciples, and that act of humility, that act of graciousness and love for the men who loved him and who followed him, even knowing in his own heart and mind where he would be going and what would take place, and even the one that would deny him. The one that would betray him. But yet our Savior loved us so much that he continued, did exactly what he said he would do. And he broke the bread. And this symbolic, as we look at tonight, is the breaking of the bread as the Lord prepared for that first Lord's Supper. Gentlemen, if you'll prepare the table. The Lord Jesus, that same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when they had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Brother Darrell, would you ask a prayer of thanksgiving for the broken body of our Savior?
Father, it's difficult for us to, in our mind's eye, to go back to that fateful day when we saw our Savior being beaten and bruised unto death for the sins that we caused. Father, it's a humbling and bittersweet time that we can come together, knowing that our God loved us and was willing to have his body destroyed for the sins of his children. Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you for his willingness. Thank you for the great gift that was offered to us, Father. And Lord God, we are so appreciative that someday we will be in glory with you because of what your Son has done. And we give you thanks for that, Father, in Jesus' precious name.
This is that bread which cometh down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. After the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do ye in remembrance, and oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he come." Brother Cena, would you please ask a prayer of thanksgiving for the cup?
Father, as we partake of this communion time, and we hold these elements in our hand, help us come to our mind what actually took place that night. These are symbols, Heavenly Father. This is not the real body. This is not the real blood. These are symbols to help us remember and recall what you went through for our salvation. The suffering, the bloody striping, and then the nailing on the cross. These are all things that you've done for us. And we, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for going through this, for carrying the cross through the streets. We thank you for the gentleman that was asked to help. We thank you for those that prayed even while you were on the cross, that this world might see salvation in why you were up there. And now we thank you for this night that you've given to us to recall and remember these times of the past. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hebrews 9:22 tells us, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission. And in 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Bible says that after they had finished the first supper that they sang a hymn and went out into the night. So let's stand together tonight and we will sing the song, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. Opportunity to come together as a church family tonight. Please remember that God loves you and his preacher loves you. If I can be helped in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. And on your way out, as remember this, do in remembrance of me, other than your family member, tell somebody you love them and appreciate them. God bless you. You're dismissed.